Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. 8:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the microphone. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
And we're joined right now we're joined right now by our great friend, Mr. Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
We can't hear you that well today, Paul, because of the wind and the snow, so you're going to have to speak. No, it is a little crazy over here right now. What is it looking like the rest of the day here, Paul, and they're coming up?
Yeah, still some snow showers out there for us through the first part of the day, but it looks like the biggest issue is going to become the winds here as they crank up more this afternoon, tonight, Friday, Saturday, still cranked up here as this intense low just kind of sits off to our northeast. Ramping those winds up. So blowing snow concerns continue from tonight out through Saturday. And looks like after that, things finally starting to wind down with the winds more so Saturday night and Sunday. So temperatures today steady in the single digits throughout here. Northwest winds at 15 to 25, gusting over 30 as we get more to the afternoon. Tonight, some areas of blowing snow, 7 below. Northwest winds 20 to 35, some gusts to 40. And 20 to 35 mile per hour winds Friday, gusts over 40 at times. High of 1 above with blowing snow. So any more exposed area is certainly going to contend with that visibility issue and some of the snow blowing back across the road certainly as well. 4 below 0 Friday night. Areas of blowing snow, northwest winds 20 to 35, gusts to 40. Saturday, still gusty winds and blowing snow, especially first part of the day, 6 above. And then partly cloudy, 5 below Saturday night. 8 above, some sunshine on Sunday. And then we'll see quieter weather in the next week. Some mid-teens Monday, mid-20s Tuesday coming our way. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Making it real hard to be in the Christmas spirit, Paul. I'm joking.
Right. We're stuck in a violently shaking snow globe or something.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what it feels like. You're right. Even with these small, especially with these small snowflakes, like it does kind of feel that way. Paul, I don't want to assume here, but talking with a lot of your colleagues throughout the years with the Weather Eye and other meteorologists, it tends to be a lot of you guys seem to be at least historians and really enjoy history, especially weather history. Is that the case for you?
Yeah, I do. I do enjoy, looking back at past events. Obviously, you learn a lot doing that, too.
Yeah.
You can kind of reanalyze things.
Yeah. I was going to say, I imagine that's got to be a part of the meteorology, is understanding the past and previous weather, directions and a bunch of terms that you're a lot smarter than me to know that I don't. But I did. We're actually going to get into, when we let you go here, we're going to get into the 8 most biggest snowstorms in Wisconsin history.
Okay. And yeah, those are always fun.
We're going to kick off with the blizzard of 1881. We all remember that. We all remember. It was crazy. It happened in March 2nd Ooh. Through the 4th, and it totaled 28.5 inches.
Whoa.
Wow.
Paul, appreciate the time as always. You stay safe out there, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
All right. I think the next the best travel mode might be dog sled, like it was back then.
Yes,
there you go.
Good thinking. Thanks, Paul. Take care.
All right, you too.
The best in the business, right there, friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Mm-hmm. That's great. I appreciate they put up with us so much. They got like 90 stations to call.
Yeah,
in the morning.
And we're like just pulling this with them.
Just dragging the time out and everything. I might as well. Hey Paul, what's your favorite Christmas memory? And they just keep asking him questions and everything, like some morning magazine or something. So that is where we're going next, though. The 8 biggest snowstorms in Wisconsin history. See what I did there? We're talking to our weather people. We were right in the weather, huh?
So clever.
Blizzard of 1881, 28.5 inches. The blizzard of 1881 happened before the state kept official records, but it's often cited as the worst snowstorm in Madison history.
Wow.
The storm lasted 3 days, dumping between 2 and 4 feet of snow across southern and central Wisconsin.
Wow.
And if the snow accumulation wasn't enough, gusting winds created drifts up to 20 feet.
Jeez. Wow.
That's the outliers, the winds.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
That's where you build snow tunnels to get through.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Armistice Day blizzard of 1940.
Ooh.
This happened November 11th and 12th. The total snowfall was 28.7 inches.
Jeez.
Not every snowstorm hits the entire state, but the blizzard sure did. Until 2011, the Artemis Day blizzard was recognized as the worst in state's history.
Wow.
That November, temperatures were in the 40s and 50s until they suddenly plummeted and the storm dumped a foot of heavy snow on the entire state.
Jeez.
And nearly 2.5 feet in places like La Crosse.
Wow.
Unfortunately, more than 150 people died during the storm, which was also which also stretched into Minnesota, Illinois, and Michigan.
Wow.
Whew. That brought a chill to me on that one. I did not know. I didn't. It's something else about this too. I think, and I don't know if other people are doing this too, but in my head, I can't help myself. I'm putting myself in this time frame.
Right.
What it is like in the 1800s. What it is like in the 1940s.
Yep.
That kind of thing. And geez, you know, now we're so spoiled. What do? We rip on the weather people all the time. Weather's always incorrect. Weather's always off.
Yep.
They said it would rain at 4 and it didn't rain until 5. You know, or something like that. We are so spoiled with this.
Yes.
You know, we know days in advance before a typhoon is coming, a tornado, any of these kind of things.
Yep.
Not a tornado, but...
Yeah, we know in advance, yeah.
We knew days before this was going to happen that this snowstorm was going to happen. We didn't just get it dumped on over our head.
Right.
No, we have time to prepare.
I can't imagine what it's like 40, because we know Wisconsinites in 40, 50, somebody was in shorts.
Yep.
Somebody was in shorts. If not, many people were in shorts.
You know what? I just realized something. Armistice Day, November 11th, 1940. That was like a week after WFHR went on the air.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
That's, I knew there was something about the date that was standing out to me. Oh my, man, is that wild.
Can you imagine?
Mind blown.
It's like, oh, we're starting our new station in November, and all of a sudden, boom, they get a huge pile of snow dumped on them. Now they got to start using
nowhere.
It. Yeah.
Because if temperatures were 40s and 50s.
Yeah, and just all of a sudden, boom, wow.
It's crazy when you look at the history of this station, how many times that we could not have a station. That there were times where they could have lost the station or this or that could have happened or whatever. I had never thought about the fact that the station could have been like dumped on. Like it just never even happened. Like it's covered in snow. It's still covered in snow.
Well, and if you look at the pictures from that, I'm looking at them now. That's it's just crazy.
Yes.
Like, cars are completely covered with just their roofs sticking out
of
them.
It's amazing.
I bet the Great Blizzard of 1947 that happened January 28th and 30th with a total snowfall of 18 to 27 inches.
Wow.
Although this storm didn't drop as much snow as others, its duration is what cemented its place in history. During the longest lasting winter storm ever recorded in southern Wisconsin, 18 to 27 inches of snow fell from Milwaukee to Madison, and winds created snow drifts up to 15 feet tall.
Wow.
When the storm finally ended, Milwaukee residents could only travel city streets by sled.
There's the sled dogs that Paul mentioned. Yep.
Yeah, wow.
So that one, that's interesting to me about the longevity. Like,
yeah, three-day storm. Wow.
Relentless.
Yeah.
1975 snowstorm. Happened November 9th and 10th. It brought 10 to 14 inches. Although a foot of snow is pretty normal from November through March, especially up north, this storm came with hurricane-force winds.
Oh.
By day two, residents faced a complete whiteout and sustained winds of up to 40 miles per hour.
What? Sustained winds of 40 miles an hour?
I don't think I've heard of something like that. Outside of like near big bodies of water.
Exactly,
you know,
yes.
I haven't heard something like that. The ferocious winds caused 15-foot waves on Lake Superior.
15-foot? Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Woo.
1997 spring snowstorm, March 13th and 14th, that brought 25 inches. This snowstorm dumped a foot of snow across the state, but a narrow band spanning from La Crosse to Green Bay received much more, nearly 25 inches.
I'm sensing a pattern here. Mm. There is a snow belt in Wisconsin that I didn't even know was there.
Me neither.
And it's in the southern part of the state.
Yeah.
Didn't even realize that.
I wouldn't have guessed this. If you had me guess, I'd say up north.
Yeah, up towards. Well, and then I know there's certain pockets up towards the lake, of course, like Superior Lake Effect Snow.
Right.
That will get more snow, like in the UP Crux area there. Yeah. Lake Superior. They get tons of snow. But
Duluth, my brother, already has 30 inches.
Yeah.
From last weekend.
It's crazy.
Yes, we, yeah. Oh, I could tell you stories about that. Yeah. You think it's bad here, Northern Minnesota, man? I'm telling you.
I just like that voice.
The old man voice.
I like that voice. That's a good one. We got to find that a commercial for that voice. I like that. So in 1997, more than 275 inches of snow fell in Hurley, Wisconsin. That town's snowiest season to date.
That's the town I was thinking of. It's Ironwood, Michigan, and Hurley, Wisconsin. They get the big snowstorms there.
Interesting. Wow. Just a couple more real quick here. The blizzard of 99. They were not partying like it's 1999. They were shoveling like it's 1999. January 2nd and 4th brought 20 inches. And I do believe I remember this one. While the blizzard of 99 hit Chicago the hardest, that is why I remembered, I think, Wisconsin cities received at least 15 inches of snow. Some areas in the east central part of the state saw close to 20 inches and drifts up to 8 feet, thanks to wind gusts topping 60 miles per hour. More than 100 people died from snowstorms-related accidents, which included a 60-car interstate pileup.
Oh, no. Yikes. Ooh, those are awful.
Yeah, yeah. In 2008, the 2008 February snowstorm that happened February 5th and 6th brought 20 inches. This massive storm came from the thunder snow and major winds that caused blowing and drifting. Many cities received at least a foot of snow, new snow, while Beloit, Delvin, and Fort Atkinson reported more than 20 inches.
Again, the southern part of the state. Yeah, wow.
The 2008 storm is unforgettable for some because of the major backup it caused on I-90, forcing some drivers to spend the night in their cars.
Ooh. Oh, that would be bad. That would be bad.
That is
Yikes. Rough.
And but also, the term thunder snow.
I know.
Yeah.
That's one of the weirdest phenomena.
It is.
I've only seen it a couple of times, but it's so weird. Yeah.
How has the Sci-Fi Network not made a B movie?
That's a title right there.
Yeah, it's Thunder Snow.
That's all you need.
It writes itself. You take some 80s B star, throw them in there, and boom, you got yourself a movie.
You got yourself a movie. It'd probably even be better than, you know, Sharknado or whatever. Come on.
I believe so. I don't know if it's any Lamageddon, but it'd be up there. It'd be up there. Wrapping things up, Groundhog Day blizzard of 2011. And I do remember this one, too. January 31st through February 2nd brought 26 inches. The Groundhog Day blizzard of 2011 is Wisconsin's current record holder, topping the Artemis Day blizzard of 1940 as the biggest snowfall in 24 hours. Southeastern Wisconsin was hit the hardest, causing then-Governor Walker to declare a state of emergency in 29 counties. Walworth County received 26 inches of snow, and Kenosha and Racine counties each received 24.
Jeez. Man.
Just crazy. Big shout out to Jessica Lee, who does some great freelance writing for Up North News. Up North News. That's upnorthnewswi.com, the website. But she does reporting for some other sites too. I've seen her name over the years at a number of places. But it is a great website as well to find news. Go to upnorthnewswi.com to find more stories like this. But why are we talking snowstorms on a day where there's already snow and we're dealing with all this, James?
Why not?
Well, perspective, everybody.
Yeah, let's put it in perspective.
Perspective is one of your greatest allies the older you get. And what do we talk about all the time, especially in the last 3 or 4 years? Silver linings or things, you know, it could be worse, that kind of stuff. This is rough. What we're going to have the next couple of days is rough. Yeah. But make the most of it. Make the time of it and everything.
I'm not too worried about a storm like this. This one's not going to be. It's more blowing, not as much snow. I mean, which can still be dangerous. Don't get me wrong. We saw a lot of that when Beth and I lived out in North Dakota because there's no tree. I mean, there's no windbreak and there's a lot of open fields. So when you get what they call a ground blizzard, which is kind of what this is going to be, you know, the next couple of days, it's like there's snowfall. There's no snow coming from the sky. But it's like you're in the middle of a huge blizzard because you can't see anything because the wind is so bad. Yeah.
I've always been curious about that. And I actually would love to hear more about that sometime, like what it's like living out there. Just because I've never known anybody that lived there. And it just seems interesting to me.
Especially out in the rural areas. Oh, boy.
I bet.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, while this weather can be rough and all that and everything, it ain't going to be one of these. It's not going to make the top eight.
No, that's good.
I think there's something to be said for that, right? We'll take a break right here. We'll come back into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. It is Melissa, Seth, and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. You know what that means. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to send you to Misty's, if they're open. Call ahead. Treat yourself if they're open. They're open right now, 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 Stidaway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Mm-hmm. When you get there, wish them a great day for us. And if you are celebrating a birthday today, I'm sorry. No, if you're celebrating a birthday today, and they are open, get on over there. However, I imagine that if you are, if they're not, and you go there tomorrow or something, I'm sure that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they'll honor that.
They will honor it.
The great people over there. Mm-hmm. We appreciate our good friends at Misty's Menu, and if they are open today, which I would not be shocked by.
Oh no.
Be safe over there, and wishing you guys a great morning.
Okay, absolutely.
We dive right into the list, and just again, a quick reminder, because our office will be closed on Monday, December 26th, we need the 26th birthdays by this Thursday afternoon to include on the list to announce on Friday morning.
That's right.
And because we are closed on Friday, December 30th, we need birthdays through January by Wednesday afternoon to include on the Thursday list.
That's correct.
So keep that in mind, everybody. Yep.
I want to see all the Christmas birthdays. I want to see if we get any actual Christmas Day birthdays. Yeah.
I know of a couple, whether they're friends or they're local listeners, that have on like the 26th.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I can't think of any on top of my head on the 25th.
Okay.
I can see here that I need a one or a two from you, Seth.
Two.
All right. That gives us our qualifier. So we can get right into the holiday or into the celebrating. And we got two birthdays here. And first up, want to wish a very happy birthday to Peggy Mertens.
Happy birthday, Peggy.
Enjoy your day, Peggy. I love that name. Love the name, Peggy.
Peggy's
great
good
name. Great
I've
name.
Got an Aunt Peggy, too, and I
it's
like
a
that
good name.
Yeah.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier today, Barbara Hunt Caves.
Oh, my gosh.
Happy birthday, Barbara.
We've got Peggy and Barb. That's my mom and her sister's name, Peggy and Barb.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's kind of funny. That's kind of hilarious.
That is very funny. That is really, there are no coincidences. That is cool. It's also a great name, by the way. Barbara Hunt Caves. Like, it's Hunt-Caves.
It's hyphenated. That's a good one.
That's a good name.
That's a good one.
That's a good name. That's great. Thank you so much to whoever's got us these birthdays and anniversaries. Please get them to us, getting us more of these. We want more and more and more of them. Send them to info@WFHR.com, james@WFHR.com. Like our Facebook page and direct message us that way. Any of our staff really here. You can get us your birthdays and anniversaries, too. We love hearing from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at our celebrity list, DaBaby is born in 91 on this day.
That's okay. Just I know that's his. I'm guessing hip hop name.
Yeah, yeah.
Although still, I love the idea of him being born. It's like, hey, it's DaBaby. Let's name him that.
I love that. Yeah, if that was his original name. Yeah. Yes, that was his given name. Yeah, that would be great. I love the idea too that if like once he's like in his 80s or whatever and stuff,
he still goes by DaBaby.
He still goes by that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, he kind of has a baby face.
He definitely
does. Yeah,
yeah. He does. Yeah. Let's see here. I apologize. This I don't know what it is with this computer. It just doesn't like me.
It's not the same.
Meghan Trainor, born in 1993 on this day.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
She's fun. She's got some good songs.
Trainor is credited with promoting body positivity through her music and her songs, often lyrically themed.
29.
And she works closely with organizations like the American Cancer Society.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All I know is that she writes some very catchy songs.
Yeah.
Yes,
she is a very good songwriter. So,
This is in no exact order, everybody. I apologize. So we're going to have some people that are no longer with us kind of thrown into the mix sometimes.
Okay. Sure.
Jean-Michel Bastique, American artist who became popular during the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The neo-expressionism movement that Andy Warhol really got going changed the art game forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. It'll never, ever be the same again. The way that it used to be, if I wanted to be an artist, I had to be from this upscale family or this kind of thing. The only way that we heard about Picasso's or any of these other great artists was after they died, usually, and their work got celebrated.
Yep.
If you wanted to be it's interesting that the most celebrated painters of these times, nobody talks about anymore.
Mm-mm.
Like, they're gone. But the Picasso's, the Van Gogh, those guys are still around. It took them until the neo-expressionism movement to realize, oh, wait a minute. Maybe if you come from rough, you know, that's where a lot of the art comes from.
Mm-hmm.
That helps create it. It's not to say that if you have a privileged life, you can't be a good artist.
Right.
But it does tend to, you do tend to see a pattern here.
Mm-hmm.
whether it's Warhol or Bastique or any of these guys. Jean-Michel was an incredible artist. After his death at the age of 27, the value of his work was increased.
Of course.
And in 2007, one of his paintings sold for $110 million.
What?
Wow.
What?
That's just incredible.
That's just
insane.
Ridiculous.
His influence, though, is all over pop culture, film, music, literature, everything.
Yep.
One of the greater actors that never seems to get his due, Ralph Fiennes, born in this day in 1962. Tony Award winner, Ralph Fiennes, one of the most respected English actors, or just actors, period. From Harry Potter to James Bond to The English Patient to the, he was in Red Dragon. Incredibly dark and evil in that. But yet he can also play these charming, sweet individuals.
Yep.
And he played the arguably one of the most iconically evil characters of all time in He Who Should Not Be Named. He was Voldemort, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Now, I have one question about this, because I've heard his name pronounced Rafe.
Yes, I've
heard that, too. It's the old school. And I've only seen two people that have that name, the composer Ralph Vaughan Williams and Ralph Fiennes. So I don't think he minds if you call him Ralph, because... Well, seriously.
I'm guessing because I called him Ralph, it's Rafe.
Yeah.
If you know
it's
anything,
always the opposite of what James said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With me and names, that's probably the case.
He's in a new movie with Anna Taylor-Joy, who was the star of The Queen's Gambit. I want to see this one, The Menu.
The Menu, yes. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I forgot about that. That looks really good.
He's going to be one of those guys that he's not going to be appreciated until he's dead, unfortunately.
Yeah. You look at his IMDb page. I mean, look at his career, man. It is just incredible to me that he's not a household name, that he's not talked about.
Maybe it's part of it. He's kind of a retiring guy. He's not. He's kind of very private. I think that has something to do with it.
Two for one right now with birthdays, as we want to also wish happy birthdays to Robin Gibb and to Maurice Gibb. Now, they are, of course, neither one of them are with us anymore, but, celebrating a birthday on this day in 1940, both born on this day in 1945. Creators,
yep.
Twin Bee Gees creators.
That's right.
Let's see here. And...
this computer.
It's
a bugaboo, man.
I am ready to throw this thing as far as I possibly can and never look back. Jordan Sparks, born on this day in 1989. It's a great one to mention. Very talented young lady.
Yep.
Also wanted to make sure to mention Hector Elizondo.
Oh, another great character actor.
Yeah, great
Hector
actor.
Elizondo.
A lot of people, I think, would remember him from ER. Emmy-winning actor. He won an Emmy for Chicago Hope.
Chicago Hope. Yeah,
The other hospital show. But he's been in a lot of movies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He won a Golden Globe nomination for a supporting role in Pretty Woman, won an Obie Award for playing Seabath, and he also voiced Bane in the Batman Mystery of the Batwoman.
Oh, cool.
He was in The Princess Diaries, too. He did a really good job in those.
The great Diane Sawyer, born on this day in 1945 in Kentucky.
She's from Kentucky? I didn't know that.
The first female correspondent on 60 Minutes, a trailblazer of female journalists, a former co-host of Good Morning America, and an aide to President Richard Nixon, where she assisted in post-presidency memoirs. Diane Sawyer has many feathers in her cap. She bagged a Daytime Emmy Award and many other things. She is in the Television Hall of Fame, rightfully so.
Wow, 77.
You can't talk journalism without mentioning her.
Yep.
You can't. She's one of those faces. I talk all the time about those big three that we had growing up. And Brokaw and Koppel and Jennings and stuff. She is right in that mix. You have to mention her and Barbara Walters and some other names as well. Lady Bird Johnson, born in this day in 1912 in Karnak, Texas.
Oh, Lady Bird.
Lady Bird Johnson was an American socialite who served as the First Lady of the U.S. from 63 to 69. As First Lady, Johnson was responsible for the passage of the Highway Beautification Act, which was nicknamed Lady Bird's Bill. She was honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom and the Congressional Gold Medal in 77 and 88, respectively. What a lady. What a
human
being.
She was quite a lady, and I'm really sad that the Highway Beautification Act just kind of went by the wayside.
Yeah.
I think that was something we should probably look into again, if you ask me.
Oh, absolutely, because the propagation of native wildlife and plants is going to help our environment, our bees, butterflies.
You got it.
Gene Rayburn, born in this day in 1917 in Christopher, Illinois. TV and, now I think people forget this, TV and radio host. Gene Rayburn gained fame as the host of the Match Game for 20 years. 20 years he hosted Match Game. I didn't know that. He also played the lead in the Broadway musical Bye Bye Birdie and received the ATAS Lifetime Achievement Award.
Wow. I didn't know he did musicals too. Really?
Ooh, wow.
Wow. So when everyone, you know, James has his one-man show that he's working on, The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. He's got that going on. Yes, yes,
I as well have a one-man show where I will be playing Gene and all the other characters from the Match Game.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
Look for that in the very long future.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I can't wait for that director's cut. Oh, that's going to be a good episode. I'm looking forward to that. When we completely run out of ideas and guests and everything, and we're just like...
my Charles Nelson Reilly's killer. I'm just going to say that right there.
Oh, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. A prominent liberal, he supported Planned Parenthood and was concerned about overpopulation.
Wow.
Interesting.
Interesting.
A couple of interesting notes to throw in there.
Just throw that in there.
And I did have, Giacomo Puccini, born in this day, Italian composer, known for his works all over the world.
Yep.
Just an incredible musician.
Yeah, his many operas are still performed everywhere today. Yes.
His name, Giacomo, is how you say James in Italian.
That's right. I got to figure out what Puccini means. He's like James Brown or something like that.
Rick Nielsen, born in this day in 1948 in Elmhurst, Illinois. One of the craziest, greatest guitarists you'll ever see. Rick Nielsen, we got to introduce them at the Wood County or the Wisconsin State Fair.
Really?
Back in my old classic rock days, we got to introduce Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
And I had never done anything like that at that point in my career. And Panama just tells me, like, at the last, because that's his favorite band in the world, Cheap Trick.
Really?
So I just assume he's going to go up there and do it. And he's like, hey, you want to come up there with me? And I'm standing there, and I look up, and I'm forgetting his name now, the lead singer of Cheap Trick. Him and Rick Nielsen are standing right there, and I look up at them, and they must have been able to tell I was nervous or something like that. I'm like, hey, man, this is nothing.
Is it Xander, Robbie? No.
Thank you, Xander.
Yeah.
Nielsen hits me, smacks me on the shoulder and everything. This is nothing. and he was right. We walked up there and it was perfectly cool. I was completely calm after that.
Oh, how about that?
Just looking at him and the he's just kind of got a, I don't mean like goofy in a bad negative way.
No.
I mean just like a happy face. He's a happy guitar player. A lot of guitar players are going,
it's very serious, right?
He's just one of these guys that goes up there and I don't know if he's got an ego or not, but he goes up there and looks like, I'm good at this. Yeah. I can do this, and I'm going to have fun doing it, and I want you to have fun while I'm doing it.
He certainly looked that way. And you get to say you're one of the few people smacked by Rick Nielsen. So,
you know. This is a tap on the shoulder, and it was great, man. It was great. I'll always be proud, triumph on that guy.
Yes.
Just a really nice guy. Let me see. There was one more I did want to mention. Where is it? Connie Mack, born in this day in 1862.
Baseball guy.
There was another baseball
guy,
winningest
manager
though,
of all time, I think.
Is Connie Mack still?
I believe he is, yep.
Darn it. Steve Garvey. Steve Garvey, born in this day in 1948.
Another baseball player.
Yeah, legend. I believe Hall of Famer, I think.
I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame.
He's one
of those guys in the bubble that probably should be, but
One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Peggy Mertens.
Happy birthday, Peggy.
Happy birthday.
And a happy birthday to Barbara Hunt Caves, our qualifier today. Happy birthday, Barbara.
Happy birthday, you two.
Happy birthday.
Check and see if they're open first, and if they are, go ahead and spend some of your morning with our friends over at Misty's Menu. Take a listen to Melissa's News on your way over there and enjoy. And let them know that we appreciate them, and stay warm, everybody. Stay warm on your way out traveling and all that. We'll come back with some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day.
When we finally kiss goodnight.
In that Christmas spirit around here.
Have you figured out who's singing yet?
Trying. Melissa, do you know who this is?
I do not.
This would be Seth MacFarlane.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
I'm surprised by his velvety voice.
I've heard him sing a little bit in cartoons and everything as characters, and you can tell the guy can sing.
Oh,
I know
yes.
He did like a special once or something like that too, and I know he has a couple albums.
Yes, he does. It's all like big band stuff and jazzy
stuff.
He's a
crooner, yeah.
And he does he does a really great job. I got to give him credit. He's got a great voice.
He does. Yeah.
Yep.
He's a lot more talented than I think that some realize, but I also think some people overestimate his talent in some level. It's weird kind of career he's had, but very talented. You can't deny that. Yeah. Very talented. The other day, Melissa and I were going through some of the silliest Guinness World Records, we didn't really get a chance to finish that up. So we're just got a small segment here. We're going to just touch on a couple more of these to wrap up that segment story.
Okay.
Like the largest Smurf meeting ever.
Jeez.
Happened on June 8th in 2009. 2,510 students from a Swansea University in the United Kingdom got together, dressed up as Smurfs, and stood around in a square.
Fun. Wait,
that's all they did?
That's all they
dressed up as.
That's it.
All the blue body paint and all that, just for standing around in a square? Oh, man.
I mean, to get a Guinness Book of World Records record, yeah. I mean,
but
that's
still,
not nothing.
It's like a lot of effort.
Not for nothing. Not for nothing. I did get something out of it. I will say.
It's better than tying your beards together.
Yes. I think that Melissa's point is what matters here. They did do what they wanted to do, break the record. But you bring up a decent point, Seth. You bringing all these people together, all dressed as Smurfs, might as well do something else with it.
You know, might as well at least go for pizza or something afterwards.
Something, yeah, do something. Yeah. How about this one? The most married person.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Linda Lou Taylor of Indiana holds the record for most marriages. Do you guys want to guess how many?
13.
It's a good answer.
I'm going to say 23.
Melissa.
What? No.
What? 23?
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Melissa?
Yeah.
You're serious. Yes. That's what you want. That's your final answer.
That's my final answer.
That is correct.
What?
That is insane. That is insane.
How does she do that?
I don't know. She's done this to me a couple of times, and I know for a fact she's not looking it up over there. Nicely done, Mel. Points to Mel. Points to Melissa.
Oh, man.
You know what? Today, Melissa gets to be the right hand.
But yes!
Oh, no! What?
Yes! I did it! I got it!
Just for today.
Hallelujah.
Just for today.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you.
Oh, thank you for that response, you guys. I was hoping I'd get a good...
I'm the right hand. I'm going to lord this over you all day, Seth.
I'm leaving now. See you, everybody. Now.
I'm deadly turning red over here. I'm laughing so hard. One more for you. And I actually, we've been talking about this. We want to find a Guinness record for us to break here at the station. This I want in the running. I want this one in the running to try to beat this record. Highest jump by a guinea pig.
Highest jump by a guinea pig?
I don't know how you do this. I don't know how you train a guinea pig to jump. I don't know. I didn't even know. I've had a couple guinea pigs.
They have pretty little legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know they jumped. I didn't even know they did this.
That's the trick. It's like, wow, it's only like 3 inches, but you know.
Do you got to scare them?
That'd be a lot for a guinea pig.
It would be.
Well, and I mean, guinea pigs don't have the greatest hearts. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to scare them to make them jump.
No.
I wouldn't want. The world record for guinea pig high jump belongs to Puckle Martin. Who jumped 20 centimeters on the 16th of March in 2003.
Yep.
Puckle Martin is owned by Maddie Herman of Sweden.
There you go. It wasn't very high, but point well taken.
No, that's 7.8 inches, guys.
Yeah, I know. That's impressive.
That is impressive.
For a little guinea pig. Yeah.
We are going to take a break right here. We'll come back and get into some more fun on the mornings at on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you, and we really appreciate you waking up with us, everybody. Next hour, we're going to get into the 12 dishes of Christmas are all in one day of Polish tradition.
That's
we'll
very
touch
cool.
on that story.
Yeah,
we will kick off the hour with Never Have I Ever.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes, we're going to get into that topic.
Intriguing.
Right now, though, I got to talk about this runaway donkey. This donkey has been not only ran away, but he's been running through my mind since the other day when I came across this article. I want to say it was just like a day or two ago. This is interesting, though, you guys. This is pretty cool. The night shift of the police patrol in southwest Finland encountered an unusual vagrant early Sunday, a runaway donkey. Quote, we met a donkey last night in Loja, but not three wise men. The Western Yusima Police Department tweeted on Saturday morning. Now, I will admit to the audience, you know, we like to do local stories. Of course, we're locally grown radio. We like to do things, you know, centered in Wisconsin here. And then I kind of branch out from there. If it's not in central Wisconsin, it's in Wisconsin. If it's not in Wisconsin, the Midwest, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
We love to we do that because of taking care of our core audience. Mm-hmm. This is where we broadcast from. But, of course, as we've talked about for over the years, we've got listeners literally all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to do a story about Sweden, right? Right? We
got
to do a story.
Of course, absolutely.
We want to wish a very... in Finland is another place, too, that we got to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to say thank you to our Finland listeners, our Finnish listeners.
The Finnish listeners,
The police patrol found the donkey in the early morning hours near the Loja City Market grocery store, said Senior Constable Ani Bronin. Bronin said that the police patrol found the donkey themselves. There had been no observations or calls or from the emergency center. The donkey had set off from Vivimo, a Lutheran retreat center, but details of her nighttime trip remained a mystery.
Huh. How about that? My goodness.
Now, what was this donkey doing out there?
What was this donkey doing out there?
Why was this donkey bopping around? Or, you know, all this and everything. Did it just show up? Does it like the weather? Well, Judith, who appears in an annual outdoor Christmas party, was found unharmed near a grocery shop about one kilometer away from her home.
Okay. Went for the food. Got to see, try to find some food there. Smart. That's smart. Although I have to say, can I make two quick comments here?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, James, James trying to pronounce for Finnish words before 9 a.m. That's impressive. I give you full. But again, but about this donkey, what a jackass!
No, I mean, seriously, had to be said.
I've been holding on to that one for a while. I'm glad I got to use it.
Way to just pull that out there.
Oh, that was good. Oh, that was good. That got me. I have nothing
no
after that.
No follow-up for that.
No follow-up.
Sorry.
God,
sorry.
That was good. Oh, that was
hilarious.
There's
more discussion. It's done now. I'm sorry.
That wrapped it up.
Okay.
That wrapped it. I mean, how many times in radio are you going to be able to have an opportunity to say that legally?
That's
like,
true.
You just can't. You just don't.
They can check. It's all it's all right there. Mm-hmm.
So next one comes to us from KCUR NPR, the NPR in Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
Kansas City's pinball scene is coming out of the dark and into the basement.
Huh?
Across the Kansas City metro, pinball machines are ringing to life again in arcades, bars, and home basements. A burst of nostalgia made even more powerful by the pandemic.
Wow.
So there are a handful of things that during the, you know, really hard of the pandemic, we're talking the quarantine days and stuff, there were a lot of nostalgia being brought out.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We saw a rise in card collecting again, baseball, football, basketball, card collecting.
Oh, yes.
You know, now so many more people kind of got back into the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of old school board games got brought back.
Yeah.
Mattel and so many of those companies like saw a rise in their board game, you know, and not like newer ones, but, you know, your classic Monopoly,
ones,
Clue,
yeah.
You know, that stuff. And there was a rise on this, but it wasn't really noticed at the time. Nobody was really talking about it, but pinball machines were huge, especially here in the Midwest and specifically in Kansas City.
Very cool.
Interesting.
Carrie Wing stands over Laser Q, an old school pinball game in the darkened basement of the Solid State Pinball Supply.
Oh, that's so cool.
She's in her element and defying things with that great silver ball.
Mm-hmm.
And she is not alone. There are many people like her that, you go about Kansas City right now, and apparently you are going to go, if you go to a bar, you're going to see one. If you go to a person's basement, you'll see one. And there are even arcades built just for these.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. Somebody I knew when I was a kid had a pinball machine in their basement, and we got to play it. Pinball machines are fun.
They are. There was nothing cooler
Yeah.
Than if someone owned a pinball machine, because then you could play without quarters.
Yes.
As many games as
you want. It didn't matter how many times
you
lost.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. When we lived out in North Dakota, Fargo actually had a pinball club.
Ooh. Really?
That you could join. And it was, I mean, they had a warehouse full of old pinball machines. Now, cool. You actually had to join the club in order to play them, which had a membership fee. They did that for, you know, very specific reasons because...
Well, yeah, got to upkeep.
Exactly. The games themselves, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of those mechanical old pinball machines are very delicate.
Yeah.
They break down very easily. So the guys that owned it would repair them as they needed, but... It was really cool. We didn't stay there long enough. I was really tempted on joining because you could rent it out for parties or, you know, and you bring your own food. They had like a little snack counter there too. But it was really, really cool.
I'd have definitely joined.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would join something like that. But I not only do I like pinball, I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at it.
I believe that.
I have good reflexes and big, gigantic, weird hands. So.
Get those flippers going there.
I like pinball so much. I remember when, like, the first, we had an Atari for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the NES. And I think that was, the NES was the first, like, Super Nintendo, wasn't it?
The first Nintendo. Yep, just the regular Nintendo.
Yeah, just the regular Nintendo. Yep. They had a, I wish I could remember the name, but they had a video game video game of this.
Yes. Called Pinball.
Was it just Pinball?
It was just Pinball, yeah.
I thought it had some cool name or something. I guess it was just... I played on that, too.
Oh, that was a great pinball game.
It was a lot
I played
fun.
On that one, too, yeah.
I got an interesting good story right here I wanted to touch on. Because that donkey story, that ain't right. I mean, that poor donkey. Every penny thrown into Rome's Trevi Fountain goes to help the city's poor... Over a million each year.
What?
Every year, the more than 1 million in coins thrown into the legendary Trevi Fountain in Rome are hoovered up to feed, clothe, and house the city's poor.
Wow.
Completed in 1767, the Marble Marvel is one of the Eternal City's most popular attractions. Commissioned in the 1730s by Nicolai Salvi, it depicts the taming of waters. Normally, it's a tourist madhouse taking up a third of the space in the already small Piazza del Trevi. Visitors arrive in throngs, and many hope to do more than just see the spectacular artwork.
Okay.
Tradition has it that tourists put their back to the fountain and toss a coin over their left shoulder with their right hand.
Okay.
Excuse me. An act which... I am going to throw this computer through a dang window. I'm not kidding, man. I'm really going to do it. Like, it is just any second now. I'm going to be paying for a window because I'm going to smash this thing.
A new computer might be cheaper.
Visitors arrive in thongs, and many hope to do more so than is with this spectacular artwork. Mm. Tradition has it the tourists put their back to the fountain and toss a coin over the left shoulder with their right hand, an act which supposedly guarantees they shall return to the Eternal City.
Oh, really?
I knew there was something more to it.
Yeah, that's cool.
The tradition was born from the 1954 film Three Coins in the Fountain, about three American women living in Rome who wish upon the Trevi for love in the city.
Oh, that's cool. So it comes from the movie. Wow. I thought it'd be the other way around.
I thought for sure it was the other way around.
Yeah, wow, cool.
Well over 1 million is thrown into the waters every year, which is collected by sweeping all the coins together and then using a suction machine to gather them up.
They literally vacuum them up. That's hilarious.
I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, I know.
Caritas, a charity managed by the Catholic Church, receives this massive windfall for which they fund soup kitchens, homeless shelters, free supermarkets, and other projects.
Mm.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful.
It also goes towards the upkeep of a complex on the outskirts of Rome housing a nursing home.
Wow.
A cantina and dental office for city residents living in poverty.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. That's a great story.
And this has been going on for hundreds of years, them taking these coins and doing that with this.
Yeah.
It just was never really common knowledge. Now there's more and more being done, and I talk about it. And you can find the complete article of this at thegoodnewsnetwork.org. It's all one word, goodnewsnetwork.org. It's a really cool story, though.
Very cool.
Yeah, I like that. One, you throw the one coin, you'll come back to Rome. Two coins, you'll find your love in Rome.
Ooh.
And if you prefer to get married or divorced, 3 coins into the fountain.
That's so Italian.
That's so.
That is so Italian.
So Italian. That is my people. Please, you know, I'm not making fun of you here, Melissa. I mispronounce words every sentence that I say on the air. But the way you said divorce at first there, divorcee,
I don't remember.
I think that divorce should be changed to that. I think that's the way you should
say it. It's a better
word. It's a tense moment. It's a tense situation. Mm-hmm. Even if it's something that both parties agree on, why not make the word more silly? More fun to say. More silly. More, you know, I think that's
a little levity to the situation,
as
right?
As somebody who has been through a divorce, I feel like that would have made it a little lighter. Made it a little lighter. Take a break right here. We'll come back, get into some more fun on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio.